Hello and welcome back to another episode of Read It With Whiskey. And you guessed it, I'm Laura Gentinen, your host and the author of the Shockwave series. I feel like I say the same thing at the beginning of every episode. I guess it's a good thing, maybe not. Let me know. Find me on Instagram at Read It With Whiskey and let me know if I should switch it up a bit. All right, enough of that. So today, we are going to be talking to Bran Kairos. He is the author of Kama Aina. This is a historical soft fantasy novel set in Hawaii. But first, let's talk about Bran. So Bran's author page is probably the shortest I've ever seen. About the author. I live on the most magical island in the world, swim with the sea turtles, and make up stories and shit. I literally love this about the author section in his book. I laughed so hard when I read it because it basically sums up who Bran is, and you'll find out in the episode. So let's talk a little bit more about this book that we're going to be interviewing about. So Kama Aina, the main theme within this book is respect the culture, and that comes up throughout the book, and we definitely talk about it. Here's what Kama Aina is all about. Something mysterious and supernatural is stirring in the West Maui Mountains. The angry clouds from the black magic ceremony will linger over the island. The native Hawaiians, the Haoles, and the tourists alike are all unaware that a new spirit has been called to Maui, in spite of some of their suspicions that the little magical Menahune people are secretly living in the mountains and performing these dark rituals. Kama Aina is an enchanting tale that examines some of the beautiful culture and complicated history of Hawaii through the lens of all the island's inhabitants, even the temporary or mystical ones. Nigel Turner and his handicapped wife, Francine, are two of those inhabitants, and their neuroses leads them from one tragically comedic situation to the next. Nigel is trying to survive another chaotic day while he desperately searches for his authentic sense of self. He must find a way to believe in his own magic again before he's engulfed by the will of others forever. Talk about an interesting mashup. This is historical, a little bit of fantasy thrown in there, and definitely some comedic effect between Nigel and his wife Francine. I can say that this book frustrated the crap out of me, but I enjoyed it. Dive on in. Welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the interview podcast featuring science fiction and fantasy authors. My name is Laura Gentinen, your host and the author of the Shockwave series. I am also a book club moderator, speaker, and avid reader, truly invested in every author's story. Within this podcast, I bring to you, the reader, all the behind-the-scenes secrets to how these guest indie authors bring their books into the world. If you are a sci-fi fantasy reader, then you need to hear from these authors. Let's learn about the person behind the page. Sit back, sip some whiskey, and lean in to these self-published authors. Hello, Brandon. Welcome to Read It With Whiskey. How's your day going so far?
Aloha. Thanks for having me in. It's going really well. It's hard not to have a good day in Hawaii.
Yes, I'm so jealous. I've never been to Hawaii, and we're definitely going to end up talking about Hawaii in general, because that is actually where your book takes place. But before we dive into all of that, can you tell our listeners, why did you decide that you wanted to be a writer?
Yeah, so it was kind of an interesting journey for me. But, you know, I think I've always been a writer. In grade school, I tested in like the 99th percentile for English comprehension and everything like that. And it just always came naturally to me. But I don't think I ever really kind of accepted it or embraced it or celebrated it until the last few years, even though my college degree is in technical writing. I'm qualified to write like user manuals for consumer goods, which I think would probably bore me to tears. But I had a very transformative 2018, 2019, and I was looking at some stuff in my life, trying to become a better person, for myself and for other people. And it led me to this book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I started, it's really like an exercise book. Two of the key components, one of them is morning pages, which is like the best free therapy out there. And then the other one is a weekly artist day. So I started doing this book around the same time I started writing my first book. And it was just so incredibly magical, and I enjoyed it and loved it so much. And stories had always been really important to me, and like I never really imagined or envisioned that I would have wrote fiction books as I was growing up as a kid, but I just feel like honored and lucky to be able to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's exciting that you've been able to dive into your passion too, because before you didn't really write, but now that you are, you have the ability to write more. So what does your day-to-day life look like? Are you writing full-time, part-time?
Yeah, so it had been a pretty interesting few years since 2019. I took a trip, a 3-month trip to Hawaii, Australia, and Asia. And I really fell in love with Hawaii and Maui along the way. So I moved here right before the pandemic hit, actually. And I'd already wrote one book at the time. And then, you know, everything closed down. And over the course of the next year, I did it pretty full time. And I wrote 2 more books as part of a trilogy. And then spring of last year, I started writing Kama Aina. And when I'm in my groove, when I'm rolling, I'm usually writing, you know, anywhere from 4 to 5 hours a day, usually, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 words. And now, you know, getting back to reality in some ways, I just started a new job as a tour guide for snorkels here on the island for snorkeling tours. And that's really amazing. And now it's kind of trying to find balance with, you know, the new gig and, you know, my passion for writing.
Yeah, sounds fun. Oh, I've never done snorkeling, but if I ever go to Hawaii, I'm going to hit you up. Be like, hey, man, I need some snorkel tours.
You got it. We'll go swim with the sea turtles.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I'm in southern Indiana, so I see like dirty rivers, and that's about it for water.
I've spent some time there, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. So we kind of touched, or you kind of touched a little bit on some of the books that you've written. So you have a series, Smacked. Is that the title of the series in general? Okay.
Correct.
So there's 3 different stories in there. Overall, can you tell us what that series is about? Just a little overview.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my writing at its core is really about, you know, kind of trauma from childhood and transcending that and how it can affect some people's lives. So this series, the first book is about a young feminist in LA, you know, following the 2016 election. And it really has to do with her finding her power and her voice and trying to figure out family politics and religion. And, you know, she goes to the Women's March and she gets caught up in this Mexican cartel's revenge plot. And then the other 2 books in the series, they're all sort of drug related. The opioid epidemic really interested me. So the second book is a prequel to the first one. It's about her brother's fight with his heroin addiction. And then the third book is about her daughter, and it's a dystopian future, kind of in line with, you know, Margaret Atwood's Handmaid's Tale, kind of similar to that in some ways. And, you know, they're all basically political thrillers.
Very fun. Yeah. I get into political thrillers every once in a while. I'll go through little spurts, and usually it's some type of like historical political. And so then when I started reading your book, it kind of threw me because I was anticipating one thing, but then I was pleasantly surprised with the twists and just everything that happened. So Kama Aina, tell us what this book is all about. This is what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the interview.
Yeah, definitely. And well done on the pronunciation. So Kama Aina basically means people of the land or community. It's a word that, you know, if you're out in town, you might hear every once in a while. Specifically, like if you're at a restaurant, a local person might say to their bartender or server, hey, can you add my Kama Aina discount? It's usually like a 10% discount, so locals don't have to pay tourist prices. But onto the book, it's really about community and interconnectedness. It was an idea that I heard about in the Secular Buddhism podcast. And I thought it was really beautiful. The host of the podcast, the way he describes it, he's talking about, you know, a car. Well, what is a car? You know, it's made up of all these, you know, hundreds or thousands of different parts. And then not only that, you have You think about all of the people who go into all of those parts, the people who put them together, the people who ship the cars to your car dealership, you know, the people at the DMV who write the title. And I thought it was a really, really profound and like nice concept that went well with this idea for this book that I already had about community. And so the story itself is about this quirky retired couple living in Kihei, which is a town on the south side of Maui. And the whole story takes place over the course of one day. And it's sort of a crescendo of the main character, Nigel's life. And this crazy and, you know, in some ways sad life he'd been living. Nigel's sort of this lovable loser. And his wife, Francine, she's handicapped from this surfing accident she had. And so Nigel really has to be a caretaker for her, not only in a physical form because she's handicapped, but also because Francine as well. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I would say she has narcissistic personality disorder. She can be a bit unbearable at times. So Nigel really also has to manage everything for her and caretake for her emotions, her mental state, everything. And even like given to her delusions about herself. And so the whole day is really set up for all these vain appointments for Francine. She's got to go to the hair salon. She's got to go to the nail salon. She's got to go get a facial. She's got to go to the doctor, all of these different things. And it's all kind of spurned and directed from their neuroses. And it leads to some tragically comedic situations. And all of the while, we have these other mini storylines that are weaved in together to help bring forward this theme of community and interconnectedness. You've got the traditional Hawaiian people. You've got the kooky tourists. And then I think for me, the most fun part of the book is you have the Menehune as well. And it wasn't really something when I first had the idea for the book that I had anticipated on including. It wasn't going to be a fantasy book originally. And I would describe the book as light fantasy. It's historical fiction, historical fantasy. But I'm so glad that I decided to do it because the fantasy part of the book was so much fun for me to write as my first foray into fantasy. And I wanted, you know, all of the people of Hawaii, even the, you know, fantastical ones to be included. And I feel like the Menehune really made the book what it was. And, you know, we see the Menehune that there's really only one chapter with them in it. And the chapter almost kind of reads like a documentary about them almost, mm-hmm. but it's also really like fun. And they play a part in bringing this new spirit to Maui, who ends up interacting with our main characters and having a profound impact on their lives. And actually, one of the hardest parts of writing the book for me was not making the book about the Menehune after I wrote that chapter, because I had so much fun. So that's why I wrote the prologue about them. And that's why I wrote the really fun epilogue about them. So we could, you know, for the people who wanted more of that, they could explore that. And I know I wanted more of that for sure.
Definitely. The Menehune, I really liked learning or reading about them in, even though it was very small sections. I think, like you said, it's light fantasy. So it's historical fiction with these little spiritual creatures, things, people. I don't know how you would really explain them, but they are true to folklore in Hawaii, correct?
Yes. And it was really interesting because, so I first heard about them when I was driving around the island with my dive buddy, Donna, and there's this tunnel that you go through to get to Lahaina and people honk in there. I said, Donna, why do people honk in the tunnel? And she kind of chuckled and she goes, oh, to scare the little people. So I was like, okay, I didn't really think anything about it at the time. This was a year before I wrote Kamaaina. So I'm getting ready to write the book. And I was like, I should do some research and find out more about them. And then I found out, okay, this is the Menehune. And then I started doing more research on them. And there really wasn't a whole lot about them out there. There were a few websites about them and sort of their origins. And then also there was one book at the library with a few short stories. So I gathered what I could from that, and then I sort of added onto it and had my own sort of imagined version of the Menehune while trying to, I guess, keep it true to form and mm-hmm. respect the culture.
Right. Definitely a theme yeah. throughout the book, respect the culture.
Yeah.
And that's so much fun. I know when I read it, with the way that they interact with the human people and they're not even aware that they're around, it kind of reminded me of like good gremlins. You know how gremlins are usually thought of as like the little evil guys who mess things up? Well, the Menehune were like the people who make things better. And so that's kind of how I imagined them as I was reading. I don't know if I'm way off or correct on what you wanted the reader to perceive.
Yeah, you yeah. totally nailed it. And that's, you know, sort of what I gathered from the information that was available for them is, you know, the Menehune are really good hearted and good natured, and they try to do these little good deeds around the community, but they're also kind of, their execution is lacking, and they can be kind of, they can be kind of pests, sometimes accidentally.
Oh, so much fun. Yeah. I loved that you included it in the book, and yeah, you mentioned it, the prologue and the epilogue. And definitely for those of you listening who are planning on reading the book, do not skip the prologue or epilogue, because there's readers out there who skip those sections, but you have to read them because it ties everything together so perfectly. And so, I mean, I don't want to go more on like what happens at the end because we're not going to give any spoilers, but I do want to talk a little bit more about the characters. So you mentioned we have Nigel and Francine and this very interesting dynamic, this relationship. And oh my goodness, I got to tell you, there were times where I had to put the book down because I was like, Francine, oh my gosh, if I was there, poor Nigel. Oh,
yes, so definitely poor
great,
Nigel.
Great writing on your part, because it actually made me emotionally like irritated at her. And so very well done. Very well done. So how was that
whole
writing process?
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting. I had this idea in my head of who I wanted Francine to be. And you're absolutely right. Francine is exhausting at times. Like whenever I go back and read the book, I usually find myself taking a little break after the doctor's appointment. I'm like, whew, need a little time out from Francine. But yeah, you know, I definitely, Francine's role was so important to bring out that caretaker and Nigel. And my books are really character driven. Mm-hmm. So I know who the characters are, what they sound like, you know, what they want. And, you know, for the main character, I know where they're going or where they need to go roughly. And then the characters really just come to life. And I'm sitting there in the second chapter where they're Nigel's making breakfast and they're getting ready for their big day. And Francine just starts doing this crazy shit. You know, the first time we see her, Nigel's getting ready to eat his breakfast, and Francine starts ringing her little bell from the bedroom. I'm like, oh my God, is this real? I'm like, okay, she's ringing her bell. Like the bell was never something that was originally intended to be a part of the book. But then once it's there, it's like turned into such a beautiful gift for the story. And then I think we really start to see who Francine is when, you know, Nigel mentions this little quote of something his mother told him growing up, and Francine starts, you know, being all nasty about his deceased mother. And that was the first time I really stopped. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, can I really write this? I was like, well, that's what she said. And, you know, like Stephen King says in his book on writing, he says, mm-hmm. don't come lightly and don't say sugar. So, you know, I report what I see. and, you know, there were some interesting times throughout the story for Francine.
Throughout the book, obviously I'm on Nigel's side, but there are times where Francine can get you pull your heartstrings in her direction, and she can still get you to feel for her. And I think that's just a really cool dynamic, that even though you can see from the big picture outside one way, the story still kind of messes with your heart at the same time. So anyway, oh, I just really liked that dynamic. And then we had this other guy pop in. We're not going to talk too much about him, but Neil. So my big question is he you? Because your life mirrors a lot of things that are happening.
Yeah, great question. And, you know, I think there's little parts of me in all of my characters, probably even the crazy Francine. But yeah, you know, Neil, I would say that he definitely experienced some things that I really experienced in my life. You know, one of them mainly being feeling called to Maui. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had mentioned that those years, 2018, 2019, being very transformative in my life. And I was actually working with my therapist at the time, and he's sort of on the cutting edge for psychedelic use in therapeutic settings. So I was like, okay, I'll experiment with that, you know, see what that's about. And it was really beautiful. It was like probably the most spiritual thing that I've experienced in my life. And one of the visions that I had when I was doing that was these like beings sort of like took me down deep into this mountain. And it was like very tribal. And I met with these elders and they told me, just share your stories. And I was writing my first book at the time. So it's like, okay, that's really cool. And like, you know, 3-4 years later, you know, I kind of had the realization. I was like, oh, that was the Menahune. That was, you know, that was like a really beautiful thing. So yeah, I would say he definitely experienced some of the things that I experienced in my life. And, you know, I did end up moving to Maui and I did end up, you know, writing this really fun book about Maui that I love. So yeah.
So cool. I'm glad that you put him in there, and then all of those ties and the epilogue. I just love it. I love how
thank you.
Yeah. I did want to touch on Hawaiian culture and language. So you're not originally from Hawaii. So was that difficult writing a book with so much Hawaiian language and verbiage and cultural norms? How was that experience?
Great question. So yeah, I grew up I was born and raised in Minnesota. I spent most of my life there. I moved here to Maui a little over a couple of years ago. And, you know, there is a bit of a culture shock, and it is a very interesting dynamic and mix of people here, kind of a melting pot, which, you know, sort of helped, which was sort of the impetus of the idea for the book. And so, you know, you pick up little things as you go along, you know, little words, like I had heard the word kamaaina the first time a year before I wrote the book. You know, my landlord was telling me, and I couldn't even pronounce it. I was like, came up, what? So, you know, you pick up little pieces along the way, you know, through interacting with people and through talk story, which is, you know, talking stories about people, sharing stories, the Hawaiian word. Pidgin is actually kind of a common language here, if you will, sort of a slang language. And it's actually a title of one of the chapters. And pidgin means business or commerce. And it's really a mix of a few different languages. So you hear some of the slang, you know, out there, like talk story could probably be considered a pidgin word. And when I first moved here, I was interviewing with Terminex of all places. I was going to be like the sales rep for them, maybe. Thank God that didn't work out. Anyways, the lady's asking me, she's like, do you speak pidgin? I'm like, what's pidgin? So she's like explaining it to me, and she's like, oh, okay, well, you know, if you get the job, they'll probably call you the bug haole. I'm like, oh, bug haole. I was like, okay. And that was kind of, you know, all of these little things, you know, I was going throughout my daily life, you really added to the book and to my knowledge about Hawaii and all of this. And then, you know, I didn't really know much about the history of Hawaii when I moved here, you know, and it's sad and it's complicated. And funny enough, I originally got most of my history of Hawaii through this app. There's this tourist thing here called the Road to Hana. It's probably the most popular and famous tourist thing on Maui. And there's this app that had a history of Maui as you're driving back. And that's where I first got my history of Maui. And I obviously expanded my research from there and kind of got into more about the Great Mahele, which was an important event in Hawaiian history, which had to do with the land and how it was viewed and how it was owned. And then into more things like black coral. Black coral jewelry is a big part of the culture here. And it's really kind of crazy how it's cultivated, because you have to go down some 200-300 feet, which is not an easy thing to do, even, you know, by normal scuba diving standards. So I really did have to dive deeper into it to make sure that I, you know, really captured things correctly, you know, and who knows, there are probably some things I got wrong, like I mentioned in the acknowledgements, but I felt at the end of the day, after, you know, a year and a half of living here at that time, that I felt comfortable and confident enough to be able to do it justice.
Yeah, I think you did do it justice. And this is, I think this is only the second book I've read that is related to Hawaii at all. I had another book on the show that's actually Hawaiian dystopia. So it's set in the far future. Oh. So it's not even present Hawaii. That's The Markings by Catherine Downin and high fantasy, magical stuff. And so that's why I was, one of the reasons why I was so excited to find you another Hawaii book. I think it's like drawing me in. I'm going to end up getting there one day. But no, I think you did good because I learned a lot. And then, yeah, I read your acknowledgments in that any writer is going to get something wrong anyway. And so it was good that you wrote that in the end, just to say that the history is, yeah, we're never going to know everything about the history. And I think you did it justice, though. I think you did good with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So now moving forward, you've already published four books. You're working on your fifth. And then you have another one that is kind of hinted at in the epilogue of Kamaena. So you're kind of going into fantasy land with this newest book that you're writing. So how is that? How does that feel? Kind of tell us what you're working on and what that transition's like for you.
Yeah, so I finished my fifth novel back in December, and that's a Russian spy thriller, kind of more in line with my first three books. And then I'm really glad that you picked up on that bit in the epilogue, that was a book that I was going to write. Because yeah, my sixth book is going to be more fantasy, and it's going to be another Hawaii book. And this book is really going to more so feature the Menehune people, because I had so much fun writing about them. And it's hard to talk about it without spoiling it, but it kind of goes back further in history. It gets more into Christianity coming to the Hawaiian Islands. And it's also going to follow these two young Hawaiian boys who beg this American captain to go back to Boston with him to learn about the English language and the word of God. And, you know, 20 years later, one of them comes back to Hawaii and becomes the first Hawaiian missionary. And really, that event really transformed the Hawaiian Islands, because Christianity is really, really big here now. And so it's kind of those two main components, and the Menehune sort of tag along with those two young Hawaiian boys. And in Menehune fashion, there's going to be some really interesting events that transpire.
Yay. Oh, I'm excited. And that is going to be right up my alley. Historical fiction, Christian fiction, a little bit of fantasy in there. I'm definitely going to have to read that as soon as it comes out. And since it is related to this book, but you don't have to read Kamaena to read this new one, I think we might have to bring you back on the show a second time. Just putting it out there. You've been warned.
Sounds great to me.
All right. Well, this is Read It With Whiskey, and we wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So, Bran, what is your favorite type of whiskey to drink?
Yeah, so I'm kind of a basic bitch when it comes to whiskey. I'll be the first to admit that. I really love Maker's Mark. I mean, I think it makes a really good old fashioned. I like Knob Creek too. I did get to try some Japanese whiskey on my flight from Chicago to Tokyo. It was Hibiki 21 year, and that was delicious. Very expensive, I'm sure. But yeah, those are kind of my go-to. I really love old fashions. I have a sweet tooth, so those are mine.
Yeah, good go-tos. I like it. Yeah. All right. So where can our listeners find you, and where can they find your books and follow along with your story?
Yeah. So all of my books are available on Amazon. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Bran Kairos.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Bran, for being on the show. I had so much fun talking with you. Definitely hope to have you back. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Laura. Aloha.
Can tell from the end of the interview there, I'm really excited to see what's next from Bran, and I'm excited to learn more about the Menehune people and just the culture within Hawaii. I did mention in the interview that there was another book featured here on Read It With Whiskey taking place in Hawaii, but it is a dystopian Hawaii, and that's The Markings by Catherine Downin. Her episode is here on Read It With Whiskey, so go ahead and check her out. You can go to readitwithwhiskey.com or go to patreon.com/readitwithwhiskey to watch the video interview.
I'm really excited to see what comes next from Bran. I'll definitely be keeping an eye out. And as always, I'll give you guys updates when I find out new stuff that all of our authors are doing. And next week, we've got a true sci-fi novel coming at you hard. This is Reba Kite by O.R. Lee. This is definitely sci-fi, definitely space mysteries, and very, very entertaining. I'm just going to put it at that. We'll talk to O.R. Lee next time. See you then.
You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I am your host, Laura Gentinen, and I just wanted to personally hop in and say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would really appreciate it if you could go onto your favorite podcast platform and rate and review the show. By rating the show, you're going to help more people find the podcast so then we can grow. Once you review the show, share it on your social media, share your favorite episode with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.